Good morning, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Understanding the mind is a very important part of our being. It is that part of us that controls our tongue, controls our action, for it controls our desires. Protect your mind. When we are born into this world, we are born with a sinful nature. And when we are exposed to the world, we know today that the God of this world is the devil himself. The philosophies of this world are all engineered and designed by him. The religions of the world are also engineered and designed by him. The Bible tells us that as the God of this world, he has blinded the minds of many. That's what he has accomplished ever since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, when he deceived Eve, who sinned against God, and in turn she gave the forbidden fruit to Adam. And the moment Adam ate of that fruit, all humanity fell into sin. And this mind of ours is now corrupted. This mind of ours, the moment you're old enough, has been bombarded by the ideas and the philosophies of the evil one, the devil himself. Through the education system, through the philosophies and ideas of the world, we have been deceived. But after salvation, the Bible tells us that we now have the mind of Christ, which is the mind of God. And therefore, the understanding that we have now is very different from the understanding that we used to have in the past. Now, this passage that we have read a moment ago, where the word understanding is used numerous times, look at the word understandeth in verse 16, and the word understanding in verse 19, and the word understanding in verse 20. That's why our topic this morning is, be not children in understanding. They are three different words, even though they may be the same in English. The word understandeth in verse 16 simply means to know. Sometimes it is translated as to know. Cognitive knowledge, whereby it means seeing he does not know what you say. He does not know what you are saying. That's what it means. But the word understanding in verse 19 speaks of the mind itself. I had rather speak five words with my understanding, my mind. I know what I'm talking about. But the word understanding in verse 20 never appears in the entire New Testament except in this location. And it is used only twice in the entire New Testament, and it is found in verse 20, which is where we obtain our title for this morning, Be Not Children in Understanding. This is a very unusual word, never used before in the whole New Testament except here by the Apostle Paul in this particular context, where he says, brothers or brethren, be not children in understanding. Stop being children in understanding. He is talking to Christians whose mind has been replaced by the mind of Christ. And so he says, stop being like children in the way that you understand. So what exactly is the meaning of this word understanding? It is not merely to have the ability to think. It includes that, of course. Understanding means you think. But it also has the additional idea of control. To control your thought. The power and the ability to control. Not just thinking, because there are a lot of people who think without controlling their thinking. They just feed themselves with all kinds of information without thinking. The word understanding here talks about the controlling aspect of your thinking, not just thinking itself, which is verse 19. Verse 20 talks about the control whereby the inner attitude of the mind is also included in this idea of understanding. That means steer your thinking in the right direction. And so Paul is now saying, do not be little children in your ability to steer your thinking? Are you very careful in what you read? Are you careful in what you are exposed to? Are you careful in what you watch with your eyes? That's the idea of this understanding. It is all embracing. The understanding of your Christian witness. The understanding of your purpose of your existence. Why are you here on earth? Control your understanding. It's like when you see people play those computer games, you know, where they hold in their hands the little control, and then they have in front of the television some little box, and then they have on the television maybe a game of tennis or some other game, computer game. And then you have this little control where you manipulate the character or the person hitting the ball, if it's tennis, hitting the golf ball, whatever it is. That little box, that's the control. That's the idea, the control. And now use this to refer to your brain, your mind, whereby you are very disciplined, whereby you are careful what goes into your thinking. Now that is what Paul is talking about when he says, be not children in understanding. Because when you and I are careless, we just simply allow whatever nonsense to bombard us. You don't have the ability to sieve out. You must have the ability to sieve out. You must have the understanding to know what to avoid, what type of material in the internet that you must never click onto, you must never enter into. That's what it means by control. Because the moment you enter into some of these websites, the information that comes out of that monitor, that screen, it's going to bombard into your brain, into your eyes. And then it will impact and affect you. And very often you realize that our eye gate is very powerful, and the images that we are exposed to can remain with us for years to come before it is finally erased for good. That's why the Bible tells us when Jesus prayed for disciples, when Jesus prayed for believers, do you remember he prayed, sanctify them by thy truth, for thy word is truth? The only thing that can cleanse our mind of all these things and ideas and philosophies of the world that originated from the devil, that we all have been exposed to, is the word of God. Nothing else. Sanctify means to wash, to make clean. That's why sometimes the Bible is described as the water. Just like water washes our body. How many times do you shower? These past few days have been very hot and humid, even though there were times when we have some early morning breezes or maybe late in the evening. But by and large, Singapore climate is hot and humid, and so we wash ourselves a whole lot. I think most Singaporeans at least twice a day, morning and evening before we sleep. First thing in the morning, we wash before we go out to school, to work. And then when we come home, we wash ourselves with all the filth and all the dirt that sticks to us throughout the whole day. We wash because it is dirty. It's uncomfortable. Same in the spiritual realm. We are bombarded by this. And so God says, you want to live a life of holiness? You want to do what is right so that by your life, by your good works, your family members and friends can see Christ in you. It all begins with your understanding your mind. And if your mind is not right with God, it is very hard for you to live right with God, because you're not going to change your conduct. Because it all begins with your thinking. And if your thinking is not biblical, your thinking is like a child. Even though you're born again, you're like a child. You know what a child. You look at the children. You look at young children. In kindergarten, what is in their mind? They do not know so many things. They do not know what is right and what is wrong. They just simply exist. They need adults to hold their hand. They need adults to tell them how to clean themselves, how to use the bathroom, how to wash, how to eat. They have to learn everything. They cannot do anything on their own. And God says, you have to stop behaving in that manner as children of God, because you carry with you the name of Christ. And as you carry with you the name of Christ, because you call yourself a Christian, People expect you, God expects you, Christ expects you not to betray him. People expect to see the Christ of the Bible from the way that you conduct yourself. At home, your children, your family members whom you live with, they need to see the Christ of the Bible so that when you share the gospel with them, when you share about the wonderful faith that you have in Christ with them, it is evidenced by your new life, your life of holiness, your life that is lived according to the scriptures. But when you do not have the maturity and the understanding, you are like someone who has never played computer game before. I don't know how to play computer games. You give me the little gadget, I will mess it up. But not those people who have been spending hours and hours and hours. They know how to manipulate that little box. They know how to do it well. You give it to me, I don't know whether to go forward or go left or right or how to, I don't know how to do all these things. Never touch it before. Do not know what to do with it. You watch people play, they are expert. I'm a novice. God says, don't be a novice in things of God. You and I need to be novices when it comes to the things of the world. That's why the Bible says, howbeit in malice be ye children. Our problem is the reverse. We are mature and adult in things malicious, in things that hurt people, in things that damage the name of Christ. But in things that are holy and spiritual, we are like a novice. Don't know what to do. God says that has to stop. It has to stop. And it all begins with the mind. Are you a child or an adult in understanding? It does not matter how long you've been a Christian. It's immaterial. The Bible says it's not just having gray hair that makes you wise. It's a person with gray hair and understanding. Then he is considered wise. Just simply growing old doesn't mean that you're a wise man. There are a lot of old people who are terrible, terribly unwise. They are foolish. They have no understanding in life. Just simply sit there and let your hair turn white does not make you a wise man. You have to take very, very deliberate steps in order to be wise. And that means to have a mind that is called the mind of Christ. From the moment you accepted Christ, you already now have been given. But it is a mind that has to be developed. A mind whereby the Word of God has to be put in. That means you have to spend time studying the Word of God so that the mind of God will become one of a mature adult and not that of a child. And if you are a child, you are a very, very dangerous child because you are now an old man's body with the brain of a child. And if you are not humble enough to admit and to acknowledge that, and you go around talking big as if just because you are now 20, 30 years, 40 years as a Christian, you think you are now a mature believer, and you walk around like a peacock with all your feathers out, behaving as if now you're a mature believer because for the past 20, 30 years, I'm still in church and so many of my colleagues, they are no longer in church. I'm still in church. But we are not talking about your external old body. It is the mind that God wants us to focus on. Just because you grow old and you're still coming to church means nothing if you don't even know God's word. That is the key. In those days, in the time of the apostles, they do not have the Bible in their hands the way that we have. It was hand-copied. The printing press was not invented yet. That means they don't carry the Bible with them. They do not have fellowship groups. They do not have retreats. They do not have church camps. So ask yourself one simple question. When do they ever get to hear God's word? When the Apostle Paul visits cities, especially cities where there are churches, he will preach to them the Word of God during the week. And then, of course, also the Lord's Day. To spend as much time as possible teaching them the Word of God. And that's why when the Apostle Paul had to say farewell, there was no written Bible left behind. Paul was a walking preacher and teacher par excellence. Amazing. That's why he was a very, very rare apostle to all the churches that he visited, because what they wanted from him was the word of God, which they do not have. They don't have it. They only hear the word of God when these apostles are around, or when there were preachers on Sunday, because many of them probably will be working. And what kind of word of God do they have? They have the Old Testament, and then they have the New Testament, the epistles that will be given throughout the first century, bit by bit, book by book. First Corinthians was given, Second Corinthians was not there. The prison epistles were not there yet. There was no John, there was no First Peter, Second Peter, there was no First Timothy, Second Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Obviously, there was no Revelation. So whatever the word of God they had, it will be on the Sunday, the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day will be the day in the entire week whereby they can hear the word of God, except when you have visiting apostles like Paul or others. But they were hounded, they were persecuted. They can only share for a few days during the weekdays, for a couple of hours or more, and then the enemies will come and drive them away to the next city. So where do you think they will have a continuous diet for God's word? The Lord's Day, the worship service. And then when the worship service was messed up by all these people who come and speak the word of God in languages that they do not understand. And if the only time where the church can have a diet of the word of God is on the Lord's Day during worship service, and then you have people speaking languages, the word of God in foreign languages, and nobody in the church understands what you're saying, and then where are they going to get an alternate source for their food, their spiritual diet, for the knowledge of the word of God? Nowhere. And that's why the Apostle Paul had to arrest this serious problem. Because without the word of God, no matter how sincere, no matter how zealous and fervent you are in wanting to bear a holy image for Christ, without the word of God, it will be in error. Without the word of God, you can't pray properly. Without the word of God, you can't love properly. Without the word of God, you can't serve properly. Without the word of God, you can't witness properly. That's how important the word of God was. And then you have people who have infiltrated into the church, and then they start speaking the word of God in languages that the people do not understand, and the whole service was disrupted by them. And there was great turmoil and great pain to the Apostle Paul, who was the founder of the church in Corinth during the second missionary trip. And now he had to write to them to teach them how to have a proper order of service, where the word of God could be properly taught. And that's why he says, be not children. Stop being like infants in your mind, in the way that you live and carry the image of Christ everywhere you go. How do you view the worship service, the Lord's Day, for example? Is it the mind of a person who is an adult, or is it the mind of a child? How do you view the Lord's Day? Have you studied all the passages from the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, concerning the Lord's Day? We have this in our BBK classes. Maybe some of us should go back to BBK classes and have a refreshing course, a refresher, to have a proper understanding of the Sabbath day. Because I was told that there are people who continue to come late, and they sit in the new sanctuary. Sure, sometimes you might be late, but to make it a pattern and don't even feel bad about it, and then you walk into the sanctuary with your head held high and you're not even sheepish about it, trying to find a seat as soon as possible so that you will not disrupt the rest of the people. You just stroll in and walk in as if it is no big deal. We are here to worship the one living and true God. Do you know what that means by one living and true God? He sees, his eyes can see, he knows. Just because you are still walking around, you are not struck dead, week after week, you just simply come late and you don't even bother, don't even feel bad, and don't even take the trouble to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm so sorry, please help me next week. I will be on time, I will not be late again, because I have been a bad testimony to myself and to the rest of the God's people, and especially to my own family and my children. You don't even feel bad. You don't even say any of these things from your heart. And then God does not do anything to you. Please don't think that God is blind and dead. He is now being very patient and long-suffering, giving you time to stop because you are a bad witness and testimony. You are like a child. You are born again. You are like a child in your understanding because you do not understand the importance and the significance of keeping the Lord's Day holy. There are some people who work on Sunday and they don't care. They don't even feel bad. They don't try to find ways and means or another job. It may pay lesser, but to come to church on the Lord's Day for worship. The Lord's Day is one of the most important days in the believer's life to remind us of so many things. First, it reminds us that we must never stop witnessing for Christ because the Lord's Day is also the day called the day of rest. To remind us that you must keep on serving so that one day you're going to rest in heaven forever. And that means your time on earth is precious because the moment your eternal rest comes, the day where you can serve on earth is over for eternity. Never, ever in your entire eternal life will it ever return to you. That's why it is so precious. That's why the Bible says, number your days and apply your hearts unto wisdom. Redeem your time. This is mature thinking. Redeem your time. Don't waste it anymore. Serve the Lord. Don't say, well, I'm tired. I don't want to serve anymore. Who is not tired? Who doesn't want to just take a rest? But the Lord reminds you, one day you're going to enter eternal rest. And while you're still on earth, don't rest. Keep on serving. Keep on serving. And the Lord's Day is the reminder because God knows that when you serve, you're going to allow the world to touch you and to affect you and all the spiritual dirt will stick to your body. And the Lord's Day is a time where you are at home with brothers and sisters in Christ. Out there in the world is a place of danger, is a place where Satan is God, where everyone out there will do what is right in their own eyes except children of God. They will do what is right only in the eyes of their Savior. And sometimes they become casualty because some of them are weaker, some of them are struggling. They are on guard all the time when you're out in school, when you're out in the world out there, where Satan is the God of this world. But when you come back home every Lord's Day, you are now with family. You're now with family. Your guard doesn't have to be up. Sure, there will be wolves in sheep's clothing. There will be those whom the Bible says they are the angels of light. They will creep in and try to destroy the church, destroy the unity of the church. And that's why the leaders have to be very vigilant to make sure that members like yourselves can come into the church where we have provided all the many avenues for you to grow spiritually, to strengthen yourself, and whatever wounds that you have encountered out there in the world serving the Lord, they can be patched up, you can be repaired, you can be made stronger so that you can go back out into the world and be a holy witness again. That's what the Lord's Day is meant to be. To remind us of our eternal rest, to keep on serving and keep on serving and to cherish every day that you can serve the Lord and don't waste a single day. Another blessing is to remind us that we are spiritual people. We are children of God. This world is not our home. We are a family sealed by the blood of Christ. My family out there, if they are not all born again, they are only sealed by the blood of mom and dad. That's our common blood. And that blood is not strong enough to overcome death, is not strong enough to take away the bondage of sin and the penalty which is death. And if our children are not believers, if parents are believers, there will be eternal separation unless they become believers themselves. But this church family is eternal. Sealed by the blood of Christ, it has the power to already defeat death, defeat the devil. Hebrews chapter 2 tells us that. That's why Jesus Christ came as flesh and blood, just like us, from infancy to adulthood, so that he could live a life of perfection and then go to the cross to die, to destroy the devil who has the power over death. Hebrews chapter 2. And he did that. And if you have truly accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, this is your family. And that's why coming to the Lord's Day to keep it holy, you are with family. You can relax. You can be at rest. You don't have to be on guard and be so tense all the time. You are at home, in other words. That's what the Lord's Day is supposed to be, brothers and sisters in Christ. And of course, most important of all, is the time where we all worship the Lord as children of God. Because this is the only activity that we do on earth that we will continue to do in heaven, worship. Everything you do out there, you will retire one day, right? No matter what office you hold, no matter what position you hold, You will retire one day. But what we do in church every Lord's Day, in worship, in singing, in praising the Lord, it is our continuous, never-ending, wonderful experience. That's why you better enjoy worship. You are really, really in trouble if you don't enjoy worship. There's really something wrong with you. Either you are not born again, or you are so young in your faith that you may be 20, 30 years as a Christian, but as far as God is concerned, you may be only 2 days old. Like a newborn babe. Completely oblivious to life. Completely oblivious to whether she's drinking milk or drinking water. No idea. I hope that is not your case. And that's why Paul says, stop being children in understanding. When Paul chastised them about the abuse of tongues, he has to let them know that he was not sour grapes. And so he said in verse 18, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Please don't think that I'm jealous of you. That's why I'm trying to rebuke you for abusing the gift of tongues. He says, I thank God that I speak the word of God in multiple languages more than you all. God gave Paul and other apostles the ability to learn languages that they have never gone to school to learn. That's the gift of tongues, which ceased, no longer in existence. That kind of supernatural giving of tongues. They had it because in the early stages of the birth of the church, they could not be like foreign missionaries today, where they can spend 10, 14, 15 years of their lives learning a foreign language before they go to that country to share the gospel. God wanted them to establish and to build up the early church, which will be God's new witness in place of the nation of Israel. And so they do not have the luxury of going to school to learn languages. And so God gave to the apostles this ability to speak foreign languages that they did not have to go to school to learn. Suddenly they were able to speak new languages with understanding, the grammar, the syntax. Today we have people who also have the gift of tongues where they can speak multiple languages. We have studied some of the translators of our King James Bible, and it is recorded in documents that a number of them speak at least 5, 6, some of them 10 over languages. And they can speak Hebrew, they speak Greek very well, they speak Aramaic, and they speak some of the Middle Eastern languages as well. And on top of that, of course, they speak English fluently, otherwise how do you translate the Bible into English? And then they also speak many of the European languages as well, multiple languages. But they all have to go to school to learn. It's just that they learn it very quickly, much faster, and they can speak it more fluently than us. But they have to go to school to learn it. But for Apostle Paul and other apostles, God just supernaturally gave them the ability to speak. That way, that manner of receiving the gift of tongues has ceased, as 1 Corinthians 13 revealed to us. And if you are able to speak multiple languages, you are a very, very wonderful, wonderful servant of God, because you can bring the gospel in multiple languages for the glory of God that many of us just simply could not, because we are limited by our inability to speak many languages, whereas you can. And Paul wanted to stop any of these people saying, well, Paul chastises because he is jealous. He had his enemies. There were enemies of Paul inside the church because of 2 Corinthians. We know that there were enemies because they attacked his apostleship. And so in order to nip the kind of nonsense that he is stopping us because he can't speak other languages, Paul had to tell them, I thank God that I speak tongues more than you all. This is not a case of sour grapes. I want the best for you. I want you to know the purpose of gifts. I want you to know why God gave us the word of life. It is for understanding. And that's why he says, yet in the church, I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue that nobody understands. That's why it is far better for someone who speaks just the gospel in Mandarin, and you go to China and give the gospel, than to send me, I can't speak Mandarin. And you can speak 5 words, and the gospel is clearly understood. And the people receive it, and it sinks deep into the person's being, because the person can understand what you are saying. Then for me to speak, how many? 10,000 words. That is what? If a person speaks 20,000 words a day, that is half a day of talking. In contrast to you speak 5 words, how long does it take? Maybe less than 5 seconds. In contrast to half a day of preaching, let's say 6 hours, 10,000 words. And nobody understood a single word of what you are saying. What is the point? What is the point? And for your information, the word teach there is where we get the English word to catechize. Catechism. It's not just to teach like what you and I are seeing when we teach in a class. This word is to make a sound down into the ears of the person. That's why the Apostle Paul wants to drive home the point, the importance of speaking a language that the people understand, so that the sound will penetrate into the very being, into the very ears of the person. It's not just instructing. It's to indoctrinate, to sink deep into the person, where the person understands and believe in it and hold on to it. That's what it means. Verse 19. He used a very different word. The word for teach is another word, usually just simply instructing. But this is more than just instructing. This is instructing with the purpose of the knowledge being understood and reside into the innermost being of the person. That's the word. And the person cannot do that if the person doesn't know what you're talking about. And that is the purpose of the word of God, to sink deep into the person, to know, to steer his life in the right direction. So how good are you in the knowledge of the word of God? It is going to determine how you steer your life. How well do you know God's word concerning the role of the Christian wife to all Christian wives? How well do you know your role as a Christian husband from God's word, so that you can steer your understanding and be a godly husband at home? How well do you know God's word? Do you bother to find out from God's word how to be a godly Christian husband if you are married and you are a Christian? Do you do that? Because no area of your life should bring shame to the name of Christ. You have to do all things, including simple basic things like eating and drinking. All must be done to the glory of God. How well do you know how to steer your life as a Christian parent to your children? Do you know from the Bible how to bring up your children or not? Many are very good in what you are trained to do through the education. Our golden calf for your information is called education. And parents think that education within the four walls with a piece of paper, and if they get a piece of paper, they go to university and they become doctors, lawyers, and some very high money-making profession, that means you have been a very good parent. Yes, if you are not a Christian, you are a very good parent if you do that for your children. But if you are a Christian parent, then you are a big failure to your children and to God, if that's all you care about for your children. You have not been steering your parenting in the right direction, and the result is now seen in the wayward life and the carnal, loving life of your children. And all they care about is money, making more money, making more money. And going to church is just like an appendix in their lives. Just go through the motion. And whether they come or don't come, you don't care and they don't care. And everybody seems to think that all is well in our soul, when both parties are sick in their soul. How can you as parents do not care? You have children who used to come to church and they have stopped. Do you pray for them? Do you beg God for mercy for them? Do you tell God, Lord, please be merciful. Help me to overturn the mistakes that I have done in my children's life. Do you really, really care for eternity? Because if they behave like this, they die in their sin, they end up in hell. Do you know that? Do you know the consequence? This is the consequence. Steer your life in the right direction. Stop being children in understanding. In malice, Be children. We are very, very good in malice. Hurting people's life. That's what the word malice is. To hurt people. God says that you be a child. Don't be an expert in hurting people. be an expert in holiness, in the understanding of God's word, so that you will carry the image of Jesus Christ correctly. And they were not able to do that when they do not have God's word. And you and I are the same. If you do not know enough of God's word, you and I will also fail. Also fail. That's why you look at our lives. Look at our Christian life today. Where is the abundance? It is so tragic. Because the standard of holiness is so low, and we are so comfortable with it because all of us live a low standard life of holiness. And to our own shame, we have been failing the Lord Jesus Christ at home, at work, in school, everywhere we go. And the worst part is, we are not even repentant. We are not even sorrowing in our soul. We are not even bowing down and begging God for mercy to help us, strengthen us, to pick us up, so that this life of holiness will no longer be so low, mixed with carnality. It has to be holiness without any of this mixture. Is this your thinking? I hope so. Stop being children in understanding. How are you steering that box, your life? It all begins with the mind. How well do you know God's word? What steps have you taken to understand so that the way you steer your life, like a child holding that box, you are now holding that box, and that's your life, that's your soul, that's your brain, that's your thinking. Are you steering it toward a lot of movies, a lot of books, a lot of internet? When are you going to steer it toward reading the Bible, studying the Bible, attend night classes, take advantage of all the fellowship groups, take advantage of our church Bible study? We had one yesterday, do you know that? Or it is something that, well, you are resigned never to attend. Church Bible study is designed to encourage parents to study God's word together. That's the purpose. And then after that, you can have a meal together. All provided for, so that parents can study God's word together. That way you can help your children. If you find it so hard, we are helping you to help your children. And even that kind of help, you turn your back on them. And you know that when your children keeps on growing older and older, you're not going to have another try in shaping their lives. Once you miss it, you mess it up, you're going to experience the results. Your children will stop coming to church. That's the first sign. And then they will become deep lovers of the world. That's the second sign. And then you're going to see their lives change, because they are going to indulge in the vices of the world. They're going to smoke, they're going to drink, they're going to gamble, they're going to swear. And this will become the new norm in their lives. And then you know that now you are getting older and older. And if the Lord tarries, you are not too far away from your deathbed. And all you have by the time you close your eyes, when you reflect back upon your life, you ask God, you ask yourself, what have you got to show for it? Sure, you may have a big house, you may have a big car, you may have all these wonderful material things. God called them wood, hay, and stubble. Where is the real gold, the real silver, the real precious stone, the spiritual impact? I want to see it in your lives of your children. Show me the spiritual impact that you are supposed to have in the lives of your children. Show me the spiritual impact that you're supposed to have with brothers and sisters in Christ in this church where you are a member of. Show me the spiritual impact that you're supposed to have among your colleagues whom you have been working with, your friends, your family members. Show me the spiritual impact. When was the last time you showed them Christ? By the way that you live, or are you still doing what is right in your own eyes, satisfying your own heart's desire instead of God's desire? That's why Paul says, stop being children in understanding, won't you? Enough has been wasted. The number of days that you and I have wasted, they are not going to come back. Whatever days that you have left, start a new beginning of making a promise before God that you will put time aside to study God's word. We have the Golden Years Fellowship for those who belong to the age group to help you, because there are a lot of people who are struggling the same way that you are struggling with the same issues. We also have the Adult Fellowship, Senior Adult Fellowship, the Young Adult, the youth fellowship, the teens, and then all age groups, actually. And then we have the church Bible studies. And then we have a lot of Bible studies throughout the week. We have the church prayer meeting. We have the evening sunset gospel hour. So many avenues to help you know God's word so that you will stop being children in understanding. It all begins with a desire in your heart. Are you truly born again? Let's start there. If you're truly born again in Christ, you know the Spirit of God dwells in you. And the Spirit of God is the third person of the Godhead. He is God himself. His role and his function, you can find out in studying John chapter 14, 15, and 16 and the book of Acts. His function, his role, unlike Christ who came to die for us. The Spirit of God is to indwell us and to bring to remembrance the Word of God. He is to lead us and guide us in a life of holiness. He is the one who will convict us when we sin. His still small voice will whisper and direct and guide us so that we do not have to make decisions on our own without His help. And if you are truly born again in Christ, the Word of God ought to be speaking to you. You should not say in your heart, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. And do not let it be water off a duck's back. Because the Spirit of God will not let you. Because these are the Word of God. You read it for yourself. Brethren, be not stop being children in understanding. Howbeit, in evil, in malice, in hurting people's life, you be children. You be as young as possible. You don't have to be experienced in all these evil. But in understanding, be men, be adult. Be an expert in this. Is that very hard to understand? You and I know what's it like. You have can see children. You and I have grown up from children to adulthood. God says in things evil, you don't have to experience them. You be a child. The less you experience evil, the better you will be in living a life of holiness. That's why, do you not wish? I wish, I came to know Christ when I was 23. I wish I could know Christ at the age of 13 or even younger. So that there will be less bad memories, bad, naughty, evil memories in my life. If you came to know Christ at the age of 40, do you not wish that you would come to know Christ earlier? Of course, I know that's a wish that will never become a reality. But when you live the life of a Christian, it is so wonderful, it is so rich, it is so good. And then when you reflect back on the life that you lived as an unbeliever, it is so dark, it is so tasteless, it is so carnal. You wish you had more time living the life of holiness. Do you not? Or you just simply believe in Christ and there are no fruit of the Spirit, no change. Then, tragically, sadly, you are not born again, dear friend. Because the Spirit of God will never give you the peace in your heart. And if you are wayward and you don't even feel bad, don't say you want to follow the footsteps of Lot. The Bible says Lot was vexed in his spirit every day. Vexation of spirit was in his heart. Why? Because the Spirit of God never gave him a day of peace. He was living in sin. He was living the life of carnality in contrast to Uncle Abraham, who had peace in his heart. He may not live in the nightlife. He did not have all the lives of what a person living in Sodom and Gomorrah, the bright city life. He lived in the tent, quiet life. But he had peace in his heart. Every night he could sleep well because he was right with God. Lord could not sleep. He had no peace. Vexation of spirit. Surrounded by carnality. That is the life of a disobedient believer. If you are a child of God and you love the world and you live in the world and you don't even feel anything about it and you don't even feel bad about it, please check your salvation because the Spirit of God will never give you the rest. Please check. And if you are living the life of holiness and you continue to serve God faithfully, don't stop. Don't give up. Don't give up. And count it the greatest honor and privilege to be able to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No matter how tired you are, no matter how lonely you may feel sometimes when you are serving, and the people around you want to put down the tools and they want to so-called retire, you don't. You keep on serving faithfully as long as the Lord gives you strength. For how long? Until the Lord says, time to come home, my son, my daughter. Then you stop. Because serving the Lord is the best life. Living the life of a Christian is the abundant life, the best life that you could ever live on earth. And this, you have to be an adult. That means experience as much as possible this wonderful life of obedience, of joy, with the mind of Christ and the love of Christ in your heart. You live for Him. a wonderful life that is independent of the material world. It does not matter whether you live in a one room or live in prison or live in a shack. It does not matter whether a palace or shack or nothing. It does not matter. The external does not matter. You just simply know that I have Christ as my Lord and as my Savior, and you continue to commune with Him. And you know that as long as your life is lived according to the Bible, you will live a life of holiness and righteousness. And by your good works, you know the people around you will see Christ in you and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And that is your goal and only goal and aim and purpose. So that at the end of your life, people can forget about my name, your name, as long as they remember the Savior. And that's all you care about. And in these things, God says, you be a man. How are you steering your life, dear friend? That is the meaning of the word understanding. God wants to know, not me. God wants to know, because He is the one that you and I have to give an account to one day. He wants to know. And He wants you to know right now. If you are not doing it, you can still do something about it. Because the moment you breathe your last breath, it's all over. And that's why He gave us this truth. Because He cares. He wants you and me to check our lives. Stop being children in the way that you steer the control box, your mind. Be a man. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for salvation that we have in our Savior. Help each and every one of us this morning to make sure of our salvation, that none of us may deceive our own soul, whereby we know that we are not truly born again. Help us, O Lord, to truly accept Jesus Christ as Lord and our Savior with all our heart. And may this be reflected by the new life that we live, the new desires that we have because of the new mind in Christ that you have given to us. I pray, O Lord, that you will be gracious and merciful to help all who are truly born again, children of the Most High God, to steer our thinking in the direction of thy holy word, that we may no longer do what is right in our own eyes, but submit to thy holy will and do what is right only in the eyes of our loving Heavenly Father, whose eyes are able to see into the very depths of our soul, which means to live a life that is in accordance to Holy Scriptures. Stir within our hearts, O Lord, a desire to study thy word, to set aside time to pray without ceasing, and to study thy holy word day in, day out, so that the mind of Christ will continue to be very real in us, that all the philosophies and ideas of the evil one may be pushed out by the word of everlasting life, so that we will think godly thoughts, we will do godly deeds, and speak godly words, that we may truly, by our good works and the good words that flow from our lips, point others to the Savior and glorify our Father who art in heaven. Where we have failed thee, O Lord, may thou forgive us, cleanse us and wash us of all our sins, and bring conviction to the hearts of those who truly know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, but have been children in understanding. May thy Holy Spirit bring conviction and cause them, O Lord, to grow out of their state of infancy and into adulthood with the passage of time ahead of them. May thou be merciful to hear us, O Lord, for Jesus' sake, for our heart's cry is to obey thy holy word. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.